Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today we're continuing our sermon series on fighting the good fight of the faith as a soldier of Christ. And we've been looking specifically at the armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. And our aim here is that you might be made, and I, through the word also, might be made better, more effective, more steadfast soldiers of Christ, fighting the good fight of the faith and taking hold of the eternal life to which we've been called. And so let's begin then today by refreshing our minds for just a moment with respect to the great conflict, the battle, and the warfare in which we find ourselves engaged as Christians, as Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3. There Paul says this, "For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war, for the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So in other words, we got to get our minds around this today, again, is that we are at war as Christians. As much as we are people of peace and we are heading for a kingdom of peace, in this life we do have war. We're battling an invisible war, an invisible enemy. And that's what makes it especially difficult. It's easy to forget about the war when you can't see it. But nevertheless, God holds it out to you right now. It's true. It's real. It's a battle that is fought on the battlefields of human hearts. And there are great things at stake in this battle. The prize of war is the salvation of men and women and children. And on the one side, we have the spiritual hosts of wickedness. The devil, who is called Satan, whom Jesus fights in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, he is a dread angel, a fallen one, perhaps even so mighty as a cherubim, and all his demonic host we fight. And on our side, we have the champion, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's come to give us eternal life and the gift of salvation from God by grace. And we receive this through faith. And he then leads us as our commander, as our general, marching the army of God, the host of the redeemed of God, to his kingdom in heaven. And what a great and glorious thing that is. So my aim here is that we might, through this series, be made more confident and certain and stronger soldiers in the power of the Lord. For we are fighting not a worldly war. We have an enemy far greater than anything worldly. These are angelic forces which seek to rob us of our faith. But in Christ, being strong in his Lord and his word, we are to hold fast the gospel and live with him. So this is a real battle, a real conflict. And so if you're going to go into a real battle, real conflict, would you go naked? You don't want to be going to Iraq, basically, unarmed, unprotected. And you don't want to be going into this battle, unarmed and unprotected either. You need to be dressed as a soldier. And God tells us how to dress as a soldier. That's then go again with this in Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, last week we did the belt of truth. Now we're going on to the next one. He says here in Ephesians 6, finally, verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, so we're talking today then about this next piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. But you might ask to start out, what is a breastplate? It's not a word we use really today, is it, in our modern world? I mean, last week I talked about girding your loins with truth. That was a little weird kind of phraseology. Just imagine if Beth's in the other room and I'm in the bedroom and I say, honey, I'm putting on my breastplate. You know, that would be pretty weird. She'd be probably calling, you know, a psychologist to get me some counseling about that one. But really, a breastplate is not a feminine garb type of thing. It is a piece of armor that's worn by a soldier, that's worn by a warrior. And so a breastplate, we got to get our minds around what this is. So let's talk about that for a moment. Paul's in prison. He is sharing about the armor of a soldier, of a Christian, by looking at the armor of the soldier worn by a Roman in his day. And they were the fiercest, the best of the fighting men, and most powerful in that day. And so what is this breastplate? What is a breastplate? Well, it is a piece of armor that goes over the whole chest, the top torso of the warrior, and it's called the Lovica Segmentata, which provides the protection for the legionnaire, especially to the heart. And it was made and consisted of certain strips of leather. Paul is probably looking at this while he wrote the letter. Strips of metal that go across this way in a curved fashion, overlapping, and they had connected with hinges and straps. On the inside was a piece of leather that had held it all together. And this made a supremely strong defense for the man's chest and abdomen, because the metal is overlapping itself. It's strong, probably iron. It's curved, able to deflect any swords, spears, or arrows that might be thrust against it. And it was also, because it was overlapping pieces and not one piece, it was very flexible. You could move and fight in battle unhindered, in that as a straight piece of metal might hinder you. And so, if I were to talk about a breastplate in modern terminology, what would I say? It's basically like an ancient version of a bulletproof vest. And this is what God wants you to put on, a bulletproof vest, a breastplate of righteousness. And that's going to protect you, he says, against those spiritual hosts of wickedness that are going to attack you. But what is it supposed to protect? This breastplate protected the heart of the soldier. And you need your heart protected too, don't you? Just think about your Christian life for a moment. This last week, what has bothered you the most in your Christian life has probably been attacks on your heart. For what resides in your heart? Courage, faith, and love, and things like that. But what is the devil trying to shoot in there or thrust in there every day? He's trying to put in there angst, worry, and dread, fear, discouragement, and then every temptation. Avarice, covetousness, lust, pride. He's shooting them all in there all the time. But Paul says, if you're wearing the breastplate of righteousness, they'll glance off, deflected. You'll be protected by this breastplate of righteousness if you wear it. And this is a real thing that you put on. But the devil, what is he trying to hit? In your Christian life, more than anything else, he wants to hit your heart. He wants to hit your soul. He wants to hit deep down into the most vital organs of your faith and of who you are in Christ, in order that you might lose spirit, lose courage, lose strength, lose your drive, and lose heart. Come on, I don't need an amen. Are you guys actually suffering from this, or am I the only one up here? Okay. I get attacked this way all the time. I'm unworthy. I'm not living up to God's commands. And I'm getting hit. I need to have protection on this heart if I'm going to have a joyous life in Christ and be more than a conqueror in this battle and victorious. So let's talk about putting on this breastplate of righteousness then. What is it exactly? How do we put it on as a Christian? Well, number one, you got to understand that this breastplate of righteousness that you put on is not your own righteousness. Please get this point, because that's the way the world lives. Just think of the movies that are out there in the world. It's amazing for an unbelieving world that doesn't even really acknowledge the existence of evil and forces of evil in the heavenly places, how many movies they make about demons. You know what I'm saying? Do you? You out there? Just think about this. You got Harry Potter. You got Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, a whole host of other things. And when you're going up to fight against these Darth Vaders and warlocks and spirits and things like that, what does the world put on in all these movies? My own righteousness. It's looking pretty good, right? I'm going to go there with my own goodness and fight these guys with my own power, my own strength, my own spiritual wizardry or whatever it is, and I'm going to take them down with my own righteousness. You think that's a good idea? You know, Christians sometimes can be led astray in this way. We start with grace, we start with faith, and we think, but I'm going to fight with my own strength. I'm going to fight with my own righteousness. Ain't a good idea, okay? Not good. Why? The scripture says this. Psalm 14, verse 2. Says, David's psalm, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike corrupt. There's none that does good, no, not one." You going to put on your own breastplate of righteousness? Your own righteousness? Looking pretty good, isn't it? It's already got holes on it before you start. How about Isaiah chapter 53? "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way." How about David in Psalm 143? "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me in thy righteousness. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for no man living is righteous before thee." Whew. Quite a commentary on our righteousness. And then Romans chapter 3. Paul says, "None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God." And then he says, later in that same chapter, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So what are you thinking in your Christian life that having started with grace and faith, you're going to go out and fight and have a heart that's protected by wearing your own righteousness? You know what that's like? Let me show you what that's like just for a moment, if I may. Here's the devil's dagger, okay? He's going to come against you. You're unworthy. You're no good. God doesn't love you anymore. And besides that, I'm going to throw pride and avarice and covetousness and all these things at you. But you say, just like the world, I'm going to live in my own righteousness here. I can do that. Here's my shield. Here's my breastplate of righteousness. Doesn't it look pretty? Oh, how it shines in the sun. Oh, yeah, it may shine, but watch this. Devil comes up against you. If you're wearing your own breastplate of your own righteousness, boom, 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 right through. No problem, because your own righteousness is pathetic. According to the flesh, according to your own strength, apart from God, you can't wear your own righteousness this into battle. Yeah, you may look pretty, it may shine in the sun, but he's going to say, man, you shouldn't have brought a knife to a gunfight. You know what I'm saying? Don't go doing that as a Christian. For what does it say in Revelation 12? "The great dragon, that ancient serpent, was thrown down, who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God." You think he's accusing you day and night before God? Is that what he's trying to do? Hit your heart, accuse you, rob you of your joy in Christ, make your heart so heavy that you even think of departing from him? Well, I experience that. He's hitting me all the time. What are you wearing on your chest when that happens? For Napoleon one time, Napoleon Bonaparte wanted a bulletproof vest. And he called for a worker in the kingdom to develop it. The man made it. He brought it to Napoleon. Napoleon said, "Looks good. Put it on." So the man put on a breastplate. And he stepped back, drew his pistol, fired 6 shots into the guy. And it actually did protect him. And he walked away and said, "Okay, that's a coat of mail. I'll take. That is a bulletproof vest." But how do you think your bulletproof vest is going to... Are you willing to wear it? Do you want to wear your own righteousness against the devil who accuses you? And why is that so dangerous? Because you know what he uses? when he strikes against you? He uses tricks, but he also uses God's law. Pretty powerful thing, right? His silver-tipped bullets are laced with God's law. He says, I got 10 bullets in my gun. They're called the Ten Commandments. Let's see how many of them you've kept. Let's see. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. With all your heart, no other images. Boom. Always honored your parents. Boom. Not committed adultery. Ever lusted against for opposite sex. Boom. He's going to hit you every time. You willing to wear this vest? So the point here, number one, is don't think that Paul is saying when he says wear the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, he's saying put on your own strength, your own fleshly thing. For come on, we're fighting a war that is not of this world, but is of the heavenly places. So don't go wearing a physical armor. Wear something else. And that's point number two. Point number two here is when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, what you got to put on is God's righteousness. You got to put on Christ's righteousness, which looks wholly different, my friends, from this. You think you can put that on? Put on something that doesn't belong to you, given you as a gift? Let's take a look and see whether this is possible. Ephesians chapter 6, which is the whole thing we're talking on here about the armor, he starts out saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, right? Doesn't say put on your own armor. Don't get dressed in your own clothes. Wear God's suit. It's invincible. It's impregnable. If you put on Christ's righteousness, hey, that heart of yours is going to start to be protected. And you're going to feel great and be a steadfast soldier of the Lord. Let's take a look at where this armor is found. Isaiah chapter 59. Verse 15 says, truth is lacking. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intervene. Then his own arm brought him victory, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. You think then that there is a breastplate of righteousness that belongs to the Lord your God, your king? Do you think he can take it off of himself and put it on you? That's the one you got to wear against the devil, a cherubim, an angel? My goodness, you need God's armor. You got to wear that. We got to put on Christ's righteousness. So how do we do that? Well, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this. Look at my righteousness according to the flesh. I was circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, putting this away, in order, and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ. And may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. In other words, Paul didn't want to stand with his own righteousness against these armies, or in salvation terms, he wanted to stand with Christ's righteousness. Let's take a look at that. Devil comes against you. He's got his dagger. He thought you were bringing a knife to a gunfight. Now he's bringing a knife to a gunfight because he comes against you with all these stabs. You're unworthy. Oh, Christ's righteousness covers me. Well, how about this one then? Your God has forsaken you. Can't penetrate. Can't get in there. Why? Because Christ's righteousness covers me. I'm accepted by Christ. You're going to lose heart. No, because Christ's righteousness covers me. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel is, my friends. When you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you're putting on the gospel armor, which means for our sake, he became sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, God looked down from heaven, saw you absolutely getting slain, killed under the devil's punishments, as he shoots the law at you. He says, watch this. I'm going to come down there with my own righteousness, and I'm going to go to that cross. I'm going to, wearing this breastplate, but I'm going to take their sin upon myself. Okay, devil, try your best. And he stabbed, and he hit Christ down because he was wearing your cloak of sin and wickedness. But then he rose again, having the breastplate of righteousness because he did nothing wrong. And then also, now he is able to take his righteousness and put it on you who believe in him. Do you understand that? You are putting on Christ's righteousness. That's why he says in Romans chapter 10 of the Jews, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but it's not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified. You see how perfectly protected you are? Even when the Roman soldier, his armor was curved. So if the sword came in, it would glance off an arrow or a spear or a dart. You know what happens when the devil comes against your righteousness like this? It's deflected, deflected, deflected. Can't get in, can't penetrate, because this is invisible armor. Christ has covered you. And therefore, when he says, the devil says, you're unworthy, God doesn't love you, he's cast you off, you're a pathetic Christian, you've grown so slowly over time, God couldn't possibly be waiting on you. You say, Christ's righteousness covers me, and I know because of that, though I do have sin, a sinful nature, yet I know that I am accepted by God. I am loved by God. I am redeemed by God. I'm forgiven by God. I'm kept by God. I'm protected by God with his gospel armor. And that's why Paul can say in Romans chapter 7 that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Right, Jewish? Verse 25. What's his answer? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ's righteousness covers you. So if you want your heart protected, my friends, in your life, and you don't want to be weighed down, beaten up, losing heart, losing courage, losing faith, what you need to say is, I'm wearing his righteousness. And that's why I'm loved. I never stood before God on my own merits. I stand before God on his merits, thank you. And that feels great. My heart's light. I'm forgiven. I don't carry that sin anymore. But then there's one more. Thirdly, when you put on the gospel armor, you don't put on your own. You put on Christ's righteousness. But then you also put on Christ's righteousness by faith through living out his word and gospel in your life. We actually put on a righteous life. And because the devil is going to try to come against you that way too. You can say, well, I'm covered with Christ's righteousness, but then he says, hey, look, you're not living that way. You're not living. Look, you did this wrong. And he's going to try to slay you in front of your friends and those whom you want to witness to. And they'll say, oh, he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. Well, we want to live a righteous life and put on righteousness, right living, that he can't do that. That's why we see in the Old Testament reading, David. Isn't that a great story that Art read about Saul, the king? He's off to get David, and he's encamped, and he's basically on his heels, and David is hard-pressed and pressed sorely by Saul. But then Saul falls asleep one night with his army. David and Abishai go sneaking down to the camp. You think David was wearing anything, by the way? What do you think? You think he's wearing a big coat of mail, clinking, jangling? No, he's on a stealthy mission, right? He's sneaking down into the camp. He's probably basically naked, but he's wearing something else. He's wearing righteousness. He's going to wear the right thing. He slips down, he steals Saul's spear, goes onto yonder hill and says, hey, there, Abner, aren't you supposed to be protecting the king? I got his sword over here. How'd I get that, Abner? And then Saul goes, hey, that's David's voice. And what does David answer? He says, it is my voice, O Lord the king. Here is your spear, O king. Let the young men come over and fetch it. For the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, because I would not pour forth my hand against the Lord's anointed." Remember, the Lord actually made David succeed, gave him victory, put Saul's army to sleep, because David was wearing that breastplate. He not only believed in God as his righteousness, but lived his righteousness by not slaying the Lord's anointed, by not slaying Saul. Therefore, he was rewarded for his righteousness. That's the same way it is with all the saints. Daniel in the lion's den, and Job, how he put on righteousness. "It clothed me, my justice, like a robe and a turban." That's what Paul put on when he fought and said, "We do not lose heart. We've renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways." And that's why you can be protected too when you live a righteous life in Christ. For as it says in 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show his might on behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him." Oh, we got a God who's actually looking around the earth to quickly get there and show his power in your life, if you will put on this breastplate of righteousness. So we have a great God, and we rejoice in Isaiah 61, which says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of his righteousness." Yes, Isaiah 45, "Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength." So in conclusion today, you need heart protection. You cannot be going on your own strength. And you've begun with grace, don't end with the law. Continue to put on Christ's righteousness. Guard your heart. You're going to find your heart, as I did this week in studying this, lifted up, lightened, protected, and far less pained by these sword thrusts that the devil keeps throwing our way and accusing us. But because we can always say, "But Christ's righteousness deflects it." You are deflected, oh accuser. And in the end, as we wait for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, this breastplate is impenetrable, it's invisible, but it's also invincible. And it gives the Christian soldier the ability to go forward with a light heart, courage, free, joyful, and brave. And in the end, we'll say, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me not just the breastplate of righteousness, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Amen.